Kof Hei Shvat, Tuesday the 21st of February, we have a Yankee Wiesenfeld. Waste not, want not.
Okay, today's shiur is Leil Nishmas, my shvigah, my mother-in-law, Leah Sholem. Moras Chava Devar Bas Reb Simchi Yisrael, Leah Sholem, it's her fourth yahrzeit. And also Leil Nishmas Ovi, my father's Zecharon Levrocha, Reb Yitzchak ben Reb Yaakov, for whom I have his fifth yahrzeit this Thursday. I want to express, like many speakers do, Hakaras HaTov to Dudi Yitzkovich, Kodim Kol for everything that he does the whole year, but especially for giving me this opportunity to be mechabed my shviga and my father, Aleha Masholem, with some Divrei Torah, and the opportunity to sponsor the Torah Way this week. The other introduction that I mention every time when I speak is that I'm not a Rav, I'm not a Poisek,
no.
I'm not a prophet, I'm not a seer, and therefore, right, although we're going to be discussing in Yonim and Halacha, and in Yonim in Minhogim, and in fact in one issue, the main issue we're going to be discussing, maybe I take a little bit of issue with certain poskim. Therefore, right, you shouldn't rely on me. Right, I'm just doing this in order to discuss the Yonim, right, to make people aware of the Yonim, in order to engender discussion, but certainly when it comes to Minhogim, everybody follows their own Minhogim, and when it comes to Halacha, everybody should ask their own Moira Hairoa how to paskin Halacha. You can say, I heard from Yankee Israel, he thought this, let your Rav tell you that it's a load of rubbish, which is the subject of today, which is today's subject. Right? We're going to be speaking in Mir Hashem, a load of garbage. Okay, to start off with Amilsa de B'dichusa, there's a minute to start off with something that is, it brought a smile to my face. When I thought about it, maybe it will do to you as well. Why am I giving a Joshua Leilishma as my father? Shtei kabed yasovicho vesemecho, I have a mitzvah of kibud av, and poshet that kibud av la'acha misoso, shtei kabdeyu b'chayov uvamoisoi, that's halacha mufreshes in Siman Reish Mem in Yerodea, and therefore, and it's poshut that there's zecher kibud, a kibud for my father, that one should say divrei Torah leil nishmosoi, and that he should have an aliyas neshama, and he should be a melech yosha for us all. Amen. What about kavod chamoisoi? What about the kibud of a shviga, the kibud of a mother-in-law? So that's brought three times in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredei Siman Reish Mem, Sif Chof Dalet, it says, Chayev Odom Bechvoid Chomov, a person is Mechuyev to honor his father-in-law, and all the noise of Kalim there bring down, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Behetev, everybody says, Vehu Hadin Chamoisoi. And similarly, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law, you have a Chiyev of Lechabet, Lechabet Oysom. In Yoredei Siman Shin Mem, it says, Koirea, in Hilchas Avelus, it says, Koirea Al Chomov Vechamoisoi. I don't know whether people do this la'alocha, I'm not passing alochas, but it's clearly the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba holds, that if a person becomes aware that his father-in-law or his mother-in-law has died, then he has a chiyuv to do kriya for his father-in-law and for his mother-in-law. And similarly, in Shi'anai Dala Davov, it says that if a person's wife is in Avelus for her father or her mother, then the husband also has a chiyuv avelus, certainly in front of her. It says, she'af hu chayav b'chvoidom, because he himself is also mechuyev in the kovod of chom of a chamoisa, of a father-in-law and a mother-in-law. Where do we know it from? What's the source that one should be chayav to have kovod to the mitzvah of kibbutz for a father-in-law and for a mother-in-law? So the Bach brings down, the Bach is the original source, and all the Mephoshim bring him down, one after the other, Noisa Kalim, say that there's a posuk by David HaMelech, in which David was married to Michal Bas Shaul. Shaul HaMelech was his father-in-law, and when he spoke about David, in the posuk, he writes, V'ovi ro'oi gam ro'o. He describes Shaul as his father. He uses the word Ovi, and therefore the Bach says, from here is the Makor, that Vibal David HaMelech described his father-in-law as his father, that their father-in-law has a din of a father. At the beginning of last week's Sedra, the Torah Tzmima wonders, the Torah Tzmima says, I've got the Chorea, a much better source than David HaMelech. I've got Yisroi. Look at the cover that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yisroi last week in last week's Sedra. It says that the whole of Klal Yisrael went out to meet him, a massive delegation, and he received him with such respect, and he treated them so well, and he gave him a meal, etc. And there's a Mefurisha Mechilta, And the Mechilta says, Mikan Omru, when he brings down the Mechilta, which is brought down partly in Rashi, but not this bit. It says, Mikan Omru, Shehei Odom Muchon Lichvoid Chomov. So the Chayra, I've got a Mephorsha Mechilta as a source that one should honour one's father-in-law, and as said, all the Mephorsha say to one's in a mother-in-law. And there, the Torah Tumimah goes into a long discussion as to the relative merits of why we should learn, the Bach should learn Davka from Dovid HaMelech Vishol and not learn from Yisroi. I was just thinking, B'derech Tzachus, that actually Chazal did us a great favour that we're learning from Dovid HaMelech and not from Yisroi. Because what does it say by Yisroi? Imagine if we had to do for our Shver, for our Shviger, what it says by Yisroi. It says he went out to meet him, Vayishtachu, he bowed down to him, Vayishakloi, and he kissed him. Yeah, so I was thinking, L'chora, that, you know, that in fact he discusses Alpi Halacha, that whether, what should be the level of the kovod that one has for a chom of a chamoisoi. But certainly, Vayishtachu, Vayishakloi, it probably is better, we're better off learning for Dovid HaMelech, and then we don't have that problem. Okay, as I said, the title of today's... title of today's shiur is Waste Not Want Not. We're going to speak all about rubbish, Isurim Deraisa, and Derabonon, and Minhogim. What sparked my interest in the subject, some of you know, because I attended a chasna not long ago, a couple of years ago, and today at a chasna there are three madrigas in the serving of soup. Yeah? There's level one, which you could call the basic Shuras Hadin. Yeah? It's economy class, bronze medal. Yeah? And that is that they serve the soup in a bowl. Serve the soup in a plate. Okay, level two is the Mahadrin, which is like first class. That's club class only. That's silver medal. And that is that you get served your soup in a bowl with a layer of puff pastry stretched across the top of the rim in order to keep it warm. Yeah, and you can use the puff pastry afterwards as your croutons in the soup. Level three is the Mahadrin min Mahadrin, which is your first class gold level. And that is that they bake especially a large, and especially today because it's all yappy, it's a brown bread, a round large brown bread. They slice the top of it, the top off. They hollow out all the bread from inside. They pour the soup into the bread. They use the bit that they sliced off the top as a lid. And they serve you your steaming hot soup inside the bread. Okay? If you look around at the end of the soup course, 95% and maybe more of the bread ends up in the bin. People eat the soup.
We'll
come to that. Second, yeah. 95% of the bread goes back, right? A few people will nibble maybe the edges of the bread, but most of the bread ends up in the bin. Wow. And I asked the caterer, isn't this a bal tashkis on a massive scale? On a wanton scale, right? And tell me, does the roar of the rabbinate, I won't mention which hechsher it was, yeah, do they approve of this? And we'll hear later on what he answered me. But they do it, and they do it with a hechsher. And some of you may remember, I mentioned in a previous year, an Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan in Hilchas Shabbos mentions that he's aware that Chazonim used tuning forks on Shabbos. And he said, the Vibaltai know that these Chazonim are Yureim, Shleimim, Shomer Shabbos, Eilech Eden, and they use a tuning fork on Shabbos. Therefore, let's work backwards. Let's assume it's mutter, and work backwards, we have to try and find the heter. Not to say they're doing something wrong, but to say if they're doing it, and that's the mekubal, that Chazonim are allowed to use it, then there must be a reason why it's mutter, and he works backwards in order to try and find out what the reason is that it should be mutter. So what in here? If we find that this is something that is done, and it's accepted, and it comes with a heksher, then we have to look back and see, let's investigate bal tashkis, and see whether or not we can find a heter. So what's the original makor of bal tashkis? It's a pasuk, it's an issa deraisa. The pasuk says in Pasha Shoftim, ki sotzer ali yomim ramin elochem alei al sotzer, you're out on a melchoma, and you're surrounding a city, then there was a lav in the Torah, lo tashkis es eitzo, that you're not allowed to destroy the fruit trees, ki mimenu soichel, bo esoi lo sichrois. Because, and all the Mephoshim learn, the Chinuch says, Nimnanu melichrois ilonois, we're not allowed to cut down fruit trees, kedei lehot helan shewir, simply to cause pain, to cause harm to those people who are inside the city, in koitzis ilon machol, and somebody who cuts down a fruit tree, loike, is chayev malkus. Is chayev malkus midoraisa for cutting down a fruit tree. He says, says the Chinuch that also comes into this category, not to cause any loss to anything. But that already becomes a drabonon. Chazal learnt a midrabonon, if you like. Chazal learnt out from the love of loisashkis, as Eitzor, that, in other words, he says as follows, and that's the Rambam says, and all the Mephoshim say, that if somebody cuts down a fruit tree, even bisman milchomo, and kol shekein when it's not asman milchomo, then he can be chayav malchus for cutting down a fruit tree. But if it's not a fruit tree, it's anything else that he causes a baltashis, he causes loss to, then he could be chayav makas mardos, and others malchus midrabonon. And there are two interesting gemaras that we'll look at, and then we'll try and apply it to some practical situations. The first gemara is a gemara in Bava Kamma daf tadi aleph on vase. Omar Rav. Rav says, the din of kriya alames. If you're tearing your clothes, you're destroying them. You're causing a baltashchis to the clothing, but you're doing it l'shem kriya. So he says, hamakare alames yoise midai, says Rav in Bava Kamma, that if somebody tears more than is necessary, sorry, loike mishul baltashchis, then he's chayv malchus because he's called a baltashchis. And the Mephoshim say that because it's a beged and it's not a fruit tree, it doesn't mean loike, all the Mephoshim say. Tosfos says it there, that it means makas mardos. Midrabanan is over the is of baltashkis, which is not to fruit, but it is to a beged. But it's a keli, therefore it's not the midrais, it's the midrabanan. But he's chayv makas mardos for doing excessive. What does excessive kriya ala beged mean? So it can mean lots of things. It can mean that he does kriya on, normally the halacha is that a person has to do kriya on only shiva krovim, on the seven krovim for whom he's mechuyev to sit shiva. So if he was to do kriya on somebody, he has a shmur that somebody else died, who is not one of those krovim, and he was to tear a beged, then he'd be chayev bishul baltashkis, because he's not mechuyev in that kriya, and he's causing harm, he's causing damage to the beged. Similarly, if he goes home and he tears all the begodim in his cupboard, or he tears his curtains, or he tears his tablecloths, or whatever it is in the house, then he'll be chayev because he's doing a wanton kriya, which is in excess of that required al pi halacha. So we learn out from here a number of things, a number of chidushim you can learn from this Gemara. The first thing you learn is that l'shem mitzvah, we're going to have a heter. Right. We've now got a mitzvah to do kriya, therefore, within the shia, we have a heter to do baltashkis, l'shem mitzvah for kriya alames. We also learn that there is baltashkis in begodim and kelim, not just in fruit. We learn that baltashkis is noig bizman hazeh, because the Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly, this isn't some historic halacha that only applied at the time when we had milchomas, but it's noig bizman hazeh as well, and the Chinuch says that mefurish. We also learn that even though he has a good kavona in doing this extra kriya, he's doing it lehofik tzaro, because he feels so terrible about the shmur that he heard, somebody to whom he was close, but wasn't one of the shmur drove him. Or he's suffering so badly that he wants to go around and rip everything in the house, and that will make him feel better. Or he's doing it because he wants to do a hidur mitzvah. He thinks he's doing it the shem hidur mitzvah. Achal piken, the lav of baltashkis, the iso of baltashkis, certainly the drabonon, is going to negate that he's not allowed to do that. It's because, even though it's going to make him feel better, or he thinks he's doing a what's it called. And the final thing that we learn from that, and that's very important, is that if you don't destroy something completely, but you reduce its value, you only damage it, there's also baltashkis. To do a kriya in a beged, there are ways in which one's allowed to sew it up afterwards. You could still use the beged later on. Afal pikein, yeah, damaging a beged is also baltashkis, not just destroying something completely, but there is baltashkis in causing a partial loss to something else. The Loshon of Tosfos is, kol she'eino metzuvah, if you don't have a mitzvah to do this, or kol she'ein a mitzvah, ela hashchosa bilvad, it's just wanton destruction, also mishum baltashkis. That's one Gemara. There's another interesting Gemara, which is in Daftanis Dafchof. Rova said to Raphram Bar Popa, leimem lon mehani milim al yaisa da vavida ravona. Tell me some good things about Rav Huna. Tell me the good stories, the stories of tzidkus that Rav Huna used to do. So he told him as follows. He said, Rav Huna used to send a shliach to the marketplace on Friday afternoon when the Shabbos market was about to close, and he used to go around to all the farmers who were selling their vegetables, to all the vegetable stalls for vegetables that were for sale for Shabbos, and used to buy up all the leftovers. He used to buy up all the leftovers. What was his kavana? His kavana was as follows, that if the farmers are left over with schoira at the end of the market erev of Shabbos, then that schoira is going to be a loss for them. And they're going to realize there isn't as much demand as they thought. They brought too much. And next week they'll bring less. And if they bring less next week and there's a bit more demand next week, then there'll be people who won't be able to buy Yerokas for Shabbos because there's nothing on the market because all the farmers have brought a lesser amount and they've run out. Therefore, his kavana was, I want that every week the farmers should be encouraged, that they should bring plenty of produce, there should be supplies for everybody, and therefore, I'm going to buy up all the leftover schoira. This was the tzidkus, this was the masa chasidus, the mila d'mal yosra of Rav Huna, that he bought up all the schoira. What did he do with it? The Gemara says, v'shodi leila nara, and he dumped it all in the river. He dumped all the schoira, he couldn't eat all the vegetables, he didn't know what to do with it. So therefore he dumped it all in the river and it floated off. Asked the Gemara, what a waste, batashchis, to take all this schoira and dump it in the river. Afraid Gemara, v'leis ve la'aniyim. He should have at least given it away to the aniyim, erev Shabbos, let them come along and take the leftover schoira. Says the Gemara, Matthias HaGemara, he didn't want that they should rely on it. Why? Because some weeks there's going to be schoira left over, some weeks there's going to be nothing left over from the market. If the aniyim will rely every week on the free handout, then it'll turn out that some weeks they get yerokos, and some weeks there's none left for them, and they end up going home for Shabbos and they've got no yerokos. There aren't any to buy because they're all sold, and there's nothing in the free leftovers. So therefore the aniyim would end up some Shabbosos without, and Rav Huna didn't want that. So therefore he didn't want the aniyim to rely on it. Let them buy their schoria for Shabbos, and whatever is left over goes in the river. Freid Gemara, v'lesvei lebehemus. So at least give it away, let at least have some hanor from it. Why dump it in the river? Matayat ha-Gemara, and for the Gemara, kosova machal odom ein machile lebehemus. In the same way that we said that you cannot take a beged and reduce its value by tearing it, even though it's capable of being worn and capable of being repaired, afal pikein, that's called a baltashkis, to reduce something in its value. Hu adin, to take good food, which is suitable for human beings, and to feed it to an animal, is considered a baltashkis. That itself is a baltashkis, to give it to animals.
Bring down the rivers even lower.
I want you to know something. When I was preparing this shir, I knew you were going to ask that question. And I could show everybody, I've written here, Maxi. When I was preparing the shir, I thought to myself, Maxi is going to ask in here. Sorry? I knew that was going to happen. I wrote it down dafka that I could prove it, right? It's written from before the shir, Maxi here. Yeah. The Gemara says, it's a waste, yeah? Isn't it a bigger waste to dump it in the river than it is to give it to the behemoth? Says Rashi, yeah? V'shoti leila nara. Rashi says that Moisev, yeah, v'zorot hano, v'horchin umokamache. He said, I heard a pshat that he placed them in a river, and the vegetables used to float down the river, and people down river used to pick up the vegetables. Therefore it didn't go to waste. It ended up with human beings who waited down river to see, maybe on Friday afternoons, they all waited further down the river to see if there was anything come floating. They would pick it up, they would eat it, and therefore this was the gvaldige tzidkus of Rav Huna, that he saw to it, that the aniyim and the ashirim and the sochrim, everybody should be happy, and even the people downriver. Everybody was happy through this masa tzidkus. That's why he told him. Right. So therefore, what do we learn from here? We learn two things from here. One is that even though his kavana was, and by the way, I'll say in a second. Yeah, even though his kavana was l'shem mitzvah, he wanted that it should be l'chvoy Shabbos. He wanted that the aniyim should have, that the sochrim should have, the ashirim should have, everybody should be good. Afal pikein, he only did it in a way which made sure that there was no baltashkis. Right? Baltashkis, to do something with a kavona l'shem mitzvah, if you have a kavona, it's not an actual mitzvah, it's just something that you thought of, which would be a nice thing to do, a good minhag, something to preserve, to reduce, but baltashkis is worse than that. And therefore, you can't do that if it involves a baltashkis. Right? And the second thing, as I mentioned earlier, is that lowering a food from Machal Odom Lamachal Behema is considered a Baal Tashkis. Lowering the level of a food and serving good human food to an animal is considered also a Baal Tashkis, because it's a reduction in the quality, it's a reduction in the food that it was. As Rashi says, Demechse Kaboyet Ba'atoivo Sheshvi Hashem Bo'olam. It looks as if you're really rejecting the Toivo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you by taking something good that's fit for humans and giving it to an animal. And therefore, besides the Dinim D'Oraisa that we've had, and the Drabonon that we've had, we've also got we've got Baal Tashkis Misvora. The Svara, first of all, that Rashi said, that we're not allowed to reject the Toiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something, then we have to treat it with respect, we have to value it, and we have to try and use it to the fullest. And therefore it would be a rejection, it would almost be an abuse or an insult to the Rabbeinu Shalom to take good food which is meant for humans and to destroy it or to lower it to a lesser level. We also learn, everybody knows that Rabbi Moshe Levi spoke about it when he spoke here not long ago, that Yaakov Avinu went back for his pachin katanim. The Yaakov Avinu put his life in danger in order to go back, in order to go across the river at night, in order to pick up some pachin katanim which were of very, very little value, little earthenware vessels which didn't have much value. And he explained that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me something, then it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that everything that I have in this world is for my tachlis, is there for a purpose. I don't have anything, however little in value, however insignificant. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me, then it has a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason for giving it to me. It's part of what I have to achieve in the world, is with all the hashpos and with all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia to me, whether it's valuable or whether it seems insignificant in my eyes. And therefore, to treat something like that, something that Rabbi Yishan gave me for my tachlis, don't treat it, don't abuse it, and don't lower it in value. The Gemara says, Rav Hoya Mechabed Ashirim. The Rav used to have respect for wealthy people. Why? Because he said the Rabbi Yishan clearly knows that this is a good destination to send money. The Rabbi Yishan has, I have respect for wealthy people, because wealthy people receive money from the Rabbi Yishan. And we know that, for instance, if I would give... excuse me. If I would give a matana to somebody, a silver becher, and I'm very, you know, I put time and effort into thinking about it, buying it, spending it, and I'm very pleased that I gave him the matana, and he receives that silver becher, and he never uses it, and he puts it in a cupboard somewhere, and it becomes tarnished, and it goes completely black, and he's forgotten about it, I'm not going to give him another becher. The Rabbeinu Shlom sees that he gives money to an Oisha, and the Oisha treats the money well and does the right things with it, then the Rabbi Shalom gives him more of it. And therefore, similarly, when the Rabbi Shalom gives me something, the Rabbi Shalom gave it to me for a purpose. He wants me to use it for the right purposes. And therefore, I'm not allowed to, I'm not allowed to abuse it and to treat it. And today, more than ever, that's very difficult, because we live today in a throwaway society. Everything is chad pa'ami. We create tons of rubbish. We pollute our rivers and our landfill sites. And we live in an era when there is a massive problem with the physical amount of rubbish that we create, but it's also a psychological problem, that we're not worried about destroying things. We're not worried about throwing things away. And we're not so concerned about preserving things. And finally, besides the Issa D'Oraisa that we've got, and the Drabonons that we spoke about, and the Sforas that we just discussed, there's an additional Inyan of Sakona as well. And that's a Gemara above Abasra Dachov Vov on the base, which was last Friday's Dafayomi. Last Friday's Dafayomi says that Rova Bar Avchonon had a dekel, had a date palm that was damaging the pardes, the fruit trees in the orchard of Rabbi Yosef next door. And Rabbi Yosef said to him, Zil koitz, al pi alocha he was mechuyev, to cut back the dekel in order not to damage the pardes. So Omale, he said, Ano loikayatzno. Rav Chonon said, I'm not prepared to cut it down. Why? To Omar Rav, because Rav said, Hai dikla de toin kabo, that if I have a date palm, even if it only produces a year, one kav of fruit, which is a very small amount, right? The chaznishir, which is the largest, is the equivalent of 2.5 liters of fruit. So if it produces 2.5 liters of fruit or less according to the other shurim, then that is already called a fruit tree, and you're not allowed to cut fruit trees down. Also limiktsiye. But he says, secondly, the Omer Rabchanina said, Loi Shochiv Shichas Bari, that his son, whose name was Shichas, didn't die. Elo, the kotz teinosa b'loi zimno. I cut down a te'eno, a fig tree, before the time, when the fig tree was still producing fruit, and therefore, Rachmon and Slon, before Shem explained, in the same way that I cut off the life of a tree in its prime, therefore the Rabbeinu Shalom punished him, he held, and that the Rabbeinu Shalom had cut off the life of his son in his prime. So therefore, El Koste Nosa B'loi Zimna, right? So he said, Mari Nicha Leikot, you've got a problem with my tree, you cut the tree down, I'm not prepared to cut the tree down. And therefore we find in a lot of Mephoshim, very, very well known, that people are very, very makbid, Mishum Sakona, not to cut down fruit trees, even in a situation where it could be Mutter Alpi Halocha. Just to give you an aside, we've got here Shlomi Shtimler sitting here. Shlomi Shtimler wanted to build an extension many years ago, about 40 years ago, yeah, at 97 the Ridgeway. And there was a small bush at the back behind his house in the position where he wanted to build the extension. And that bush never produced anything, but his gardener told him that it's a crab apple. That's what he said. Now he wanted to build an extension, so he went to Reb Chunna Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. He went to Reb Chunna to ask a shalda. It's Yotzeit this week, Shabbos, Yom Hashem, Zlomen Alech Degi Gan Eden. And Reb Chunna said to him that although I could find you a heter, because you need to build an extension, I could find you a heter to remove the tree, but Vibalt, it's a fruit tree. You should know we're very, very makbid about fruit trees. Both very makbid about fruit trees. Befrat, the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer, very, very makbid. Therefore, all I can suggest to you, I have an eitzah for you. And that is, that if you lift the entire tree, complete with its entire root system, the whole of the root ball, out of the ground, and take a professional to lift the entire tree with its complete root system, and replant it somewhere else, then I'll allow you to remove the tree and to replant it and build your extension. And that's what he did. He didn't realize this little bush ended up with a crater 12 feet wide. Wow. Yeah, and they had to dig a crater 12 feet wide, pick up the tree with its entire root system, dig a hole 12 feet wide at the bottom of the garden, wow. Yeah, and replant it there. And the following year was the first year that they saw apples. Wow. The crab apples, they weren't edible, but the following year after it was replanted was the first year. Okay, so therefore, Mishum Sakona. I've got other things to tell you, very, very interesting things, but I haven't got the time. So, Mir Tashem, next time I have your site, I'll carry on. I'm going to go back, though. Before I go, I've got some very interesting things. I haven't got time to go through all the details, but let's go back to the question of the bread. Okay? What did the caterer say? The caterer said in the 2 minutes that we've got, yeah, that he said that, first of all, he said what Yitzchok mentioned. He said, you should know that all the bread that we hollow out in order to create the space inside the crust to pour the soup, we reuse in our cooking and baking. The stomach, they put it in the mincemeat, and that's pshat hu noisen lechem l'chol basar. Yeah, that could be. But he said to me, he discussed it already with the Rabbonim of the Heksha that he was under. And he said that what they said was as follows, that all food which is decorated with food, and those other foods are going to get wasted. They're just there for the looks, right? The salmon that's got all the slices of cucumber and the cherry tomatoes and the plates of ridge rolls were covered in cress, etc. And all that food which is around the outside is going to get thrown away. He says, food which is decorated with food, they held, those Rabbonim told him, it enhances the enjoyment, it enhances the look of the food, it aesthetically makes it more pleasing and more attractive, and therefore the tachlis of that particular food, where that cucumber was created, it wasn't created to be eaten, it was created to make my salmon more pleasant to eat. So he said, therefore, he said, you could argue that the breads themselves were created, in other words, these particular breads, the tachlis of the bread is, if it enhances the food so much that I enjoy the food so much and it makes the food so much better you could even say it's l'shem mitzvah because it's sudas chosam akala and all the rest of it, if you could say that this is the tachlis of this particular food was to enhance the other food, then maybe you could find a heter. I would go through it in more detail with the other examples that I've got, and maybe might think differently. And therefore, if you're into soup, if you like your soup to be served in a bread, the way that they do, it's a good thing that I'm not the Rav Amachshir.